Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
Why are we talking about all these other moves the Panthers are making and not talking about the real news, which is J.J. Jansen back for another year? It became official in the last couple of days, so we get bonus Snapchats today. J.J. Jansen joins us to gloat and talk about how great he is. Is that what you're here to do, J.J.? Congratulations, brother. We're happy for you, man.
Thank you very much. The biggest part of yesterday, besides my official re-signing, was that I no longer have to see the Keekly and Olsen gambling ad, since it's now officially fully loaded. It's like politics ads. They've got all the money now. They've got all of Bones' money, so they'll have to keep running.
Hey, Olsen made the first legalized bet yesterday. That was on the news yesterday.
Oh, how about that?
Olsen's lucky, probably won, right?
I didn't. Oh, man. So, JJ, you're back. Don't act like the burn stuff or the Hunt deal is bigger than this news, Panther fans. You are back. So how happy are you? Because I know you want to keep playing. Hell, you mentioned four more years or so, something like that. Yeah. So how much does it mean each year when you were able to, hey, extend this by another year?
It's huge. It's a thrill for me and my family, obviously, to be able to keep playing here in Charlotte with the team I love. That's always, there's always a few anxious moments in the off season because you don't really know. I'm at the stage in my career now where, kind of, for snappers, 1 year deal is kind of the way you go. As much as we'd love to have a 3 or 4 year deal, you still haven't gotten me my 4 year deal. We're 2 years into the Mac agency, and I still haven't gotten a 4 year deal.
Yeah, that's a problem.
We're kind of in that phase of the career, so there's always a little bit of anxiety trying to find out what the team wants. And obviously, once we were able to talk to them and kind of get everything squared away, it went really smoothly. And I'm really appreciative not only of Dan but of Brant and just everyone over there. Easy to work with. It was really an easy process for us to kind of work through, and obviously happy to be back to play another year.
Mac did get you a 4 year deal. It's just one year at a time. Yeah. It'll equal out 4 years by the time. Right. This is how Mac agency works, man. You got to do the little small steps along the way. JJ, when you entered the league, you've talked before about kind of like Luke Kuechly and what his goal was for what he wanted to do, how long he wanted to play. Do you remember when you were entering the league, sort of, what you wanted to get out of this, what you thought, all right, that would be a good career, and how far past your own expectations have you gone for the career that you've had here?
So in my first year in Green Bay, I got hurt at the end of preseason. I was going to make the team. I got hurt literally on the last play of preseason. And I remember after the recovery process had begun to kind of take shape, my mom told me, you know, this would probably be a really good time for you to go get your CPA. I was an accounting major in college. Because it's probably a good time for you to go get your CPA. I thought, Mom, I mean, at least give me another shot. So to say that I've gone long beyond all of my wildest expectations would be the understatement of the century. I was debating whether I was going to get my CPA when I was 22 sitting in a hotel room in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, my God. Do you rub that in?
I've well exceeded it.
Do you rub that into your mother now? By the way, still don't need my.
No, you don't rub things into mom. That's a bad move.
It is. I'm a bad son. I would have done that.
Certified public accountant, right?
Correct. Very good. Excellent.
You said, Mom,
not in my wheelhouse.
Only three letters I need is NFL, baby. I'm snapping for 16-plus seasons. She's like, yeah, right. So give me a player perspective on this. And obviously, I mean, I don't think you're going to sit here and say, what we did yesterday is horrible, right after your ink is still wet on your one-year deal. But, like, you're looking at it yesterday in free agency. And again, this is what I acknowledge, even though the way the whole Burns thing was handled and played out and the value, and it's just, I need a day to kind of vent about that. But I do acknowledge, like, there's a clear plan there, right? It's like, okay, we're sacrificing defensively, but, and it's something that I've yelled about too, right? Is help Bryce. And the clear plan is what the Saints did with Breeze, which is let's just get really big dudes right in front of him and just eliminate any interior push to our small quarterback. So when you look at it yesterday, are you kind of like, okay, I get it. We gave up, you know, a lot on defense, but look what we're doing. Like, how did you view yesterday? Or do you, or are you able to let it play out more than I am?
Yeah, I told Flound on the way in, I was watching you rolling around on the Josh Norman video from 7 years ago. Yeah. I'm sure you had a similar feeling. look, couple really important points. First of all, is you win in the NFL on offense. The reason, the old adage, defense wins championships, only matters once you get to the playoffs. And when you're in the playoffs, every offense is good. That's why then the best defenses rise to the top versus the remaining offenses. So you've got to be great on offense. Obviously, the way you do that is you play great at quarterback and support the quarterback with the skill set that he has. So you've already identified a couple of sort of the issues or the areas that we can quickly help Bryce. Protection up front, a strong offensive line, always super valuable. As it pertains, to Burns, look, a lot has been made. 18 months ago, Brian Burns was a totally different player / contract. He's the same player, but the year that he was the offer supposedly was two ones and a two. He was making $2 million. So the same player that he probably is today making $2 million is worth a lot more than the same player making $30 million a year. And so I think we all have to kind of keep in mind that the offer from 18 months ago was never going to be the same that it is now because there's a contract connected to it. It's not just the player, it's the contract as well. He's the second highest paid edge rusher now in the NFL. You're going to be really hard pressed to get multiple first round picks or whatever and then turn around and pay the guy the highest at his position. So I do think there's a little bit of reallocation of resources here. Instead of paying him $30 million here, you're paying some guards, and I'm sure those are going to be other stuff, and those picks, to begin to continue to build out the best complete team for the Carolina Panthers.
JJ, we won't get into specific names due to the period of time we're at right now and not everything official, but just the overall work around it here. The overall plan to protect Bryce with as much beef as possible, the Drew Brees plan, if you will. How smart is that in the evolution of trying to get Bryce to that next level?
First of all, isn't the term legal tampering one of the funniest concepts that you've ever heard of?
Makes no sense.
We were tampering and gambling illegally yesterday. Or legally, not illegally.
It would be like a marriage that has
a wild day in Charlotte. Legal tampering and gambling.
It's crazy. It would be like
at the same time.
It'd be like a marriage, JJ, where you have a 2-day legal cheating period. Like, come on, man. Like that legal either you're tampering
it's a bad idea.
Just Tiger Woods called that 2007.
Steer clear. But so yes, I think what you're trying to do is obviously every team, especially when you've got a young quarterback, is you're trying to evaluate what your quarterback does well and what he doesn't do well. And from there, you're trying to build a team that is built to access the strengths and protect the weaknesses of the player, right? So like with Cam, we built a pretty strong power run game that was built around Cam running the ball, and obviously Jonathan Stewart, also a similar type runner, Mike Tolbert. Yeah. And then because of the way that Cam played, he had to have skilled guys on the outside that ran go routes, think Ted Ginn, even Philly Brown, you know, like there was the go route guys, and then Olsen over the middle. That was the plan around Cam. We didn't have there wasn't a lot of like precision route running. There was a lot of, hey, Cam looks at Greg. Greg's a smart player. Cam's a smart, instinctive player. Let's find the void, you know, in the zone coverage and just throw to open space. That was the way the offense was built. Now, that took a couple of years to really hone in. So it's not uncommon to watch teams sort of evolve around their quarterback and the skills that they have. I think this is year two of Bryce. We're evolving around those skills. Obviously, Coach Canales comes in. He's got an idea of how the offense is going to work, but he's even said, let's see what happens when we get to OTAs, training camp, and all those things. What do we do well? What do we do instinctive versus, hey, we've got to be this? But certainly when you have a strong offensive line and you beef that up, you got more players. We obviously still have a ton of offensive linemen here. You make that a strength of your team, you can do a lot of things on offense. Look no further than basically every offensive line in the NFC and AFC championship game. Strong offensive lines make everything a little bit easier.
All right, JJ, before we let you go, and again, congratulations on the deal. A lot of listeners saying nice things about you. A lot of listeners also like your Burns opinion more than mine, too. So you got that going for you.
He's back
today.
On. JJ.
Get a bell of the ball.
He's back on Thursday for more.
Yeah, we're going to do a regularly scheduled Snapchat.
Youth coaching stories with JJ on Thursday.
Some of these stories that have been teased to me.
We'll tease that, yeah. We went 3-0 this weekend, and Olsen and I got in very few fights with one another.
Okay, so y'all were on your best behavior.
I know that he was a player, but there's a Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson situation there in the dugout between Olsen and JJ.
I said it's more Bobby Cox and Leo Mazzoni, but we'll save that for Thursday.
As long as it's not Buddy Ryan, Kevin Gilbride. All right. As long as it doesn't get to that level where there's a punch. All right. Last thing I want to say, JJ, I sent you the thing that was going around Twitter on Saturday morning, the picture of you when you first came to the Panthers where you look like a kid.
Oh, boy.
And the picture now. And JJ informed me I'm like the 20-something person that sent it to him. So a lot of people were amused by the differences of JJ then and now.
I tell you what, I've changed quite a bit. Now, Grant, I was very young. I was very young then. I don't think I could grow facial hair. At least now, the new pictures, you can see some of the beard coming. And I don't think I had quite hit that part of my growth spurt yet to even get facial hair. So the evolution continues. I'm trying to grow out the top of my hair here a little bit now. So moving away from the buzz cut, but we're slowly improving. The overall wardrobe and face hair thing going on.
There you go. You also have bronzed yourself a bit. Back then, you had the pigmentation of bone.
Hey, whoa,
you
know? Hey!
Now remember, there's an important. It's a good point. Like, we've got great weather here in Charlotte. That picture was taken probably within 2 or 3 weeks of me leaving Green Bay.
Oh, that makes sense.
That was a tough photo to be left in the archives.
JJ's outside.
A lot more sun here in Charlotte.
JJ's outside in the sun working out. He's outside, man. I'm stuck in a radio bomb shelter here. It's not my fault. I'm pale. Let me be outside once in a while.
You get as much sun as I do standing at first base yelling at kids to round it and run to second. I mean, you got to make sure you get plenty of sunscreen.
Oh, it shows. It definitely shows.
3-0 weekend, though. More on that Thursday, Jay.
There you go.
That's right. There you go.
We'll talk to you for the regularly scheduled Snapchats on Thursday. Thank you, and again, congratulations, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wes and Walker Show.
It's Wes and Walker back on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Fitty filling in for Wes, who's at the ACC tournament up in Washington, D.C. He'll join us via the campus corner coming up at 1 o'clock. Let's go to the FanDuel text line. We got a lot to comb through. 704-570-9610. Here's a few of them. 704 said, I'm more upset Frankie Louvu was gone. Kind of expected to lose Brian Burns. Was a little surprised that Frankie Louvu ended up going to Washington on what ended up being a $12 million a year type of deal. Because that was totally realistic. I know most of the publications out there predicted that Frankie Louvu would sign something in the neighborhood of about $10 million a year. And for it to get up to 12, that's totally fine, especially with his ability as a pass rusher. And Carolina didn't bring him in, even with, yes, the J.P. Finley tweet that I read earlier about Frankie deciding he didn't want to play for Carolina. He really liked the idea of playing for Dan Quinn. Cool. It feels like maybe you could have made him a priority and kept him. But Carolina choosing to spend money on the offensive line, which is fine with me. 864 said, y'all need to stop feeding into the hysteria. Fitterer is gone. Get over it. You fear-mongerers. Walker, Fitty, fear-mongering all over the city of Charlotte. Hey, look, it's a lot of overhaul on the defense. It's a lot of overhaul. 910 said, how would I feel if we signed Patrick Queen and maybe Daniil Hunter? I'd feel better. Now it completely changes the draft calculus and what you have with a couple of second-round picks, 33 and 39. It's not just offense anymore. Like, I would still like a wide receiver there, but now you can absolutely address defense with having lost so many different players yesterday. I did want to talk a little bit more about losing so many guys on the defense. So, and here's the thing. I know a lot of people are telling me, hey, we're hating too much on Carolina. We're hating too much on Dan Morgan. All of the mistakes that you're referencing, that belongs to the previous regime. That belongs to Scott Fitterer. Blame Fitterer. Okay, I will. I will. You got to let me vent a little bit. And the Panthers fans, you can too. But we need to talk about just how badly this Brian Burns situation was botched. We need to put a bow on it, and then we can move on. This is what I like to do with some of these situations. We can cover exactly what happened here, and then we can move on and focus on the good, because Lord knows my mental health needs it. I watch too much Charlotte Hornets basketball to focus on the bad every single time. I need to move on from a Pistons loss, or two, or three. I need to move on from more botched value situations where you lose out on McCaffrey, you lose out on DJ Moore, you lose out on Brian Burns. Yeah, we'll move on, but we need to figure out how we got here. So you lose a couple of defensive pieces, and I do have a big question about Ajero Averro, because you lose Frankie Louvu, you lose Brian Burns, you lose YGM. And I tweeted this out yesterday, Fitty. I want to know where you stand on this, because it is true. Like, it's not like they were good. But after the Brian Burns trade, there's no one left on the Panthers from that 2019 draft class. It's very possible Ian Thomas and Derek Brown are the only picks still on the team next year from the 2018 to 2020 classes. Marquise Haynes and Jeremy Chinn, still free agents from those drafts, but we definitely expect them to move on from Jeremy Chinn. I don't know what happens with Haynes. Is just another edge rusher going to walk out of the door? Who knows? The other thing I have is Carolina was dead last in the NFL last year with 27 total sacks. They just lost their top three sack artists in Brian Burns, Frankie Louvu, and YGM, who made up 18 of those 27. Panthers still have a lot of money, but Derek Brown is going to be looking like Will Smith in the Bel Air Mansion living room out there. Where did everybody go? I saw some people respond. They were last in the league. Why do we care about keeping these guys? Yeah, that's true. But Brian Burns is one of those dudes where you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And that's what I'm worried about. But the defense really takes a hit. Is Ajero Averro good enough to keep that side of the ball up to par while we hopefully fix the offense for Bryce Young and everybody there to be successful?
We're going to find out, right? We're going to find out. Do they look at this and think that, you know, his scheme is you can just, you know, plug and play and get production? You know, the sack total last year being dead last in sacks is alarming, until you remember they never held a lead in the fourth quarter. Like, that literally never happened. It's hard to get consistent pressure on the quarterback when you're playing from behind and teams are running the ball to shorten the game because they've already got a double-digit lead upon you. But, you know, the thing that I look at it where I get disappointed or get frustrated is your defense was what you could count on going in next year to be competitive. And, you know, wanting to take a jump next year from 2 wins to maybe even 5 to 6 would be because you got a really, really good defense and an offense that's going to be growing as the season moves along with a second-year quarterback with a first-time head coach. And now you look at it and say, is that possible? Today, no. And why would a Patrick Queen or Daniil Hunter, why would they want to come to Carolina? Those guys are seasoned vets that want to win a championship.
It's got to be money and playing time. Those are your two selling points.
Like, and you're not winning a championship here. And, you know, Carolina has a little bit of cap space. You know, when all the new deals kick in, I heard Max say this morning, they'll still have about $30 million once all this stuff kind of transpires. Is that going to be enough to pay those guys what you want to pay them? What you'd maybe, because you'd have to overpay them to probably get them to come here to begin with. And so that's where I'm frustrated. I'm not mad that they traded Brian Burns. I said for a year and a half they should have traded him. I'm mad at the return you got for him. But maybe that was the value. Maybe that's what the league valued him at, and maybe Dan Morgan didn't get fleeced.
So people are writing in, or Big Cat Dan says, we aren't about to lament over YGM, are we? They all disappeared a lot. I'm not mad about losing any of these guys. Yeah, no, I get that. Here's my only question. I do feel bad for Ejiro Evero for other reasons than just he's losing a lot of his team. Because think about to what happened this offseason. Frank Reich gets fired. The whole offensive staff is in shambles. They're all in different cliques. They're all spreading rumors behind each other's back. Some of them true, some of them not. The only organized unit within that Panthers organization was the defensive staff. That was it. And of course, that's led by Ejiro Evero. So, okay, Evero now is a hot commodity because he was leading the only side of the ball that was successful last year. So other teams are at least interested in interviewing him as their defensive coordinator, maybe hiring him as a head coach. Eventually that doesn't happen, but he was requested for an interview to be the defensive coordinator of another team a couple of times. What did Carolina do?
They blocked it.
They denied those requests.
Dikembe Mutombo'd.
So if I'm Evero, I want to know, how much of this was always a possibility, and how much of this was always a part of the plan?
Uh-oh.
Because if I'm Ejiro Evero and I see Brian Burns gone, okay, well, that situation got real tough. Oh, well, maybe we use some of these draft picks defensively. We'll live to fight another day. Now Brian Burns and Frankie Louvu are gone. All right, well, those are two of my top three defensive players. This is going to be tough. Well, I got a couple of good safeties. I got Xavier Woods. I got Von Bell's gone? Okay. All right. Well, I mean, maybe YGM played okay, like showed some flashes. Maybe he has now he's in San Francisco. Well, how can I get out of this? Oh, wait, no, I already committed to this job. If you knew that it was going to be this type of overhaul and you still denied those requests from other teams, not doing Evero a solid to possibly go coach a better defensive unit and then parlay that defensive job after that, right? Like, theoretically, it would be three straight years of a good defensive performance from Evero with three different teams. Yeah, that's going to give you a great resume to go land a head coaching job somewhere. But the Panthers said, no, we don't want you as the head coach. We don't want you to go to a better defensive unit, especially while all of our resources are depleted. You're going to stay here, and you're going to coach a bunch of young guys that we expect to get a lot worse next season. That's the problem that I have with Evero. So, okay, maybe they did tell him, Evero's getting paid. He's getting paid a lot of money. Cool. I think there's a legitimate gripe that he might have if he didn't know about all of this happening on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see how it all unfolds. I want to go to the Brian Burns stuff now. The how did we get here? It's a painful road, folks. It's a bumpy ride. The seatbelt is going to hurt a little bit. But we're going to get through the how we got here with Brian Burns. Because, Fitty, I clicked on a Jonathan Jones article from November 6th, 2022, recapping what happened between the Rams and the Panthers at that trade deadline area.
Yep.
And that was actually a week before Weston Walker officially launched. I don't know what that means. And we were talking about it, right? Like, this is the storyline that brought in the very existence of Weston Walker, is the Brian Burns saga, and it's coming to an end. But JJ's headline was, the Panthers going all in on Brian Burns after turning down two first-round picks and one second-round draft pick from the LA Rams. Here are some key excerpts from that article. A Carolina source told CBS Sports the team didn't like its prospects of replacing Burns anytime soon. Here's what a source said, quote, when you look at free agency and the draft, there's not a lot coming up, especially compared to the player Brian is. We didn't think we could replace Brian Burns. My question there is, do you think you can do that now? But your priorities shift. Cool. Hindsight is 2020. After the Rams struck out on McCaffrey, another excerpt here, Rams GM Les Snead re-engaged Fitterer. A source says the original offer was two first, and then the Rams upped the offer by adding a 2023 second rounder. The Panthers, quote, didn't want to make the deal, but did give it serious consideration. Man, you had Les Snead begging for Brian Burns. You said, oh, you're not going to do it for two first. Here's a second. Like, the fact that you had the upper hand so much on the Rams and you still didn't do it, it makes it look even worse. Yes, from the previous regime. I know this is Dan Morgan's team now. I get it. He's off the hook for not accepting that trade back then, but I'm still just chronicling how we got here. And then the last excerpt I'll take out, not dealing Burns for a haul like that indicates that the Panthers are sure to make Burns one of the highest paid pass rushers in the NFL this offseason, the 2023 NFL offseason, well above the $110 million extension Bradley Chubb just received from the Miami Dolphins. That's why you turn it down, because you always thought Burns was just going to get paid and be a foundation piece of this organization going forward. But that never happened. And now we had basically like 1.5 off seasons of negotiating the contract. So I was thinking back to 2022 when they turned that trade down and initially thought, man, was that Steve Wilkes' run that he led them on? Was that like one of the worst things that could have happened to this future of the franchise, because it gave you false hope because you thought you were better than you actually were? But no, you go back. That still may be true. But you go back to the trade deadline in 2022, the Panthers were 2-7 at the time of these talks. That was before the run. That was after getting beat down by Cincinnati. They hadn't even gone on the second half run yet. So it's tough to describe just how badly the Fitterer regime botched this Brian Burns situation. You could have traded him after the 2022 season. You could have traded him before the 2023 year, when this negotiation started to go awry in the first place. And even if you started to bring Steve Wilkes' run into play after they finished the second half strong at the end of last season, once parties were at that table, you could have capitalized on what was left from the original deal when the parties had the other negotiations go awry again. Like, this is something we've known about for a long time. What about the 2023 deadline when you had one win? They decided not to trade him then. Now you're left with the 39th pick and whatever the fifth round brings. So not capitalizing on the Rams, throwing everything at you, essentially ending the bleep them picks era, it's tough to swallow. But man, after getting a second and a fifth, you can start to look more at the Bryce Young trade too. So like, we can focus a little more on this Rams thing, which everybody is frustrated over. But we can also talk about the Bryce Young trade too, Fitty, and not including Brian Burns instead of DJ Moore. That seems like another mistake.
Yeah, and it just was professional malfeasance the way that they handled Brian Burns from day one. You knew from the moment you turned the Rams trade down, you were never going to get the same amount of value offered to trade for him, which meant that you probably should have paid him. I fought against giving him a $30 million contract, but you know, when it came out, when you traded up for the number one pick, that, you know, you had to include either Burns or Moore, probably would have made more sense to keep Moore here to give your rookie quarterback a legitimate number one pass catching threat, which DJ Moore was here in Carolina and proved to be last year, in Chicago. I think what we're seeing transpire is, and I think this all started with the hire of Dave Canales, is I think Carolina is about to enter a full-blown rebuild, which is something they've never done under David Tepper. Because he wanted to win and was so aggressive about wanting to win right away, as is every owner, he had to take his lumps. He swung and missed on Matt Rhule. Lord knows he swung and missed when he brought in Frank Reich. You're bringing in a first-time head coach. You've got a first-time GM. So he's doing now what he probably should have done 6 years ago, which is fully rebuild the organization from top to bottom. And Panther fans now are wanting to say they embrace this and they trust the process. But is that going to be the same tune in September and October if this team's 1-5, 2-7 again?
Oftentimes, people will tell you they want to trust the process until you're in it and it's 6 months into the trust the process era and you don't have any wins, and then you keep losing to teams like the Pistons, or you keep losing to teams like the worst, the bottom feeders in the NFL, and okay, wait, I don't want to do this anymore. Let's go trade for these established guys, even if it means getting rid of our picks. Like, you do see the fan base do that a lot. I do think that there is a faction of this fan base that is ready to move on, and that's what Carolina is doing. I see everybody writing, it's time to move on. I get it. It's probably 50-50, but we need to chronicle just how bad this was. Like, at least we can understand, whoo, buddy, this is the reason they're deciding to rebuild, because of how badly they botched everything from the 2018 to 2020 draft classes, to even more than that, to not capitalizing on the Brian Burns value, and also trading DJ Moore when you didn't have to, and we know that now. So the trade package for Bryce Young included 2 first-round picks and DJ Moore, your number one receiver, by the way, on a good contract.
Yep.
And we knew that then. The full package of assets sent to Chicago was the 9th overall pick from last year, a 2nd-round selection in 2023 too, number 61 from San Fran, a 1st-round pick in 2024, this upcoming draft, a 2nd-round pick in 2025, and DJ Moore. If you include Brian Burns in that trade, not only do you keep DJ Moore, but do you also hold on to your 2025 2nd-round pick? Like, is that possible? I imagine Chicago would have been interested at the very least, because you know what they did? One, they finished up as maybe the worst pass rushing team in all of the league, and they were willing to give up a 2nd-rounder for Montez Sweat. And that was a 2025 2nd-rounder. Maybe you hold on to your 2nd-rounder from last year. We'll never know. But you could have given up Brian Burns if you just weren't going to pay him. And then you could have kept DJ Moore and maybe even another 2nd-rounder, which we'd be okay then. Like, think about 2 2nd-round picks having also DJ Moore. That would have helped out a lot as well. It was bad. The whole Brian Burns situation, the way that everything was handled from Scott Fitterer, I don't know how much David Tepper was meddling in those negotiations, but that was bad. By the way, people are telling us that it wasn't the Dan Morgan regime. That's true. Dan Morgan was still a part of this, though, and I don't know what he was saying. I don't know what he was saying the entire time. Maybe he agreed, maybe he didn't. But it was terribly handled, and that's what leads to a time where you don't keep somebody, and you also only get a 2nd-round and 5th-round pick in return for somebody that's still good enough to sign for a $30 million a year contract, at least with some other organization. I'm glad we can move on, though, Fitty.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked, because Instant Replay continues next, only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Play on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
Now let's welcome in a man who we also are welcoming into the ACC here pretty soon, because Joe Rose is a proud Cal alum, and that's about to be ACC country. But he's a longtime voice on WQAM down in Miami, Morning Drive, played some tight end for the Dolphins as well. Pretty damn good football player back in his day. And our buddy Joe Rose is back with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Joe, thank you for the time, brother. How you been?
Kyle, I'm doing great. And by the way, thank you for that invitation. We accepted from the West Coast. I know it's going to be a pain in the ass for everybody to fly out there, but trust me, it'll be worth it for everybody. They're not very good yet.
I was just talking to a buddy of mine earlier today out in California, and he said, hey, we're joining the conference next year, so come on out and crash with me. I said, all right, we're doing it. So I'm excited about it, man. It's good to have you. Oh, go ahead. I'm
Thank
sorry.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Go ahead.
Let's
go ahead.
Do this. We had yesterday a big announcement, and I'm excited about it, but the deal was mammoth. Miami letting go, I guess, in effect, of Robert Hunt, and he's coming to Carolina on a five-year, $100 million deal, $63 million guaranteed. I know he dealt with a couple of injuries last year, but he seemed like an Iron Man before that, and he looks like a mauler in the interior of the offensive line. Am I right to be excited for Robert Hunt?
You're right. You're right on the money. Had a hamstring injury, came back too soon. Wanted to get in on all the winning, came back, played some, and then hurt it again and missed some more games. But outside of that, you're right on the money, hasn't missed games. That's a big physical guy that we really, really liked a lot. And I understand it's a lot of money, but I can tell you a lot of people between Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt being gone and Van Ginkle aren't real happy right now. And I want to say this, too, because there was talk just 2 years ago that he might have been the best right tackle on the team, and they were going back and forth on whether he should play tackle or guard. A lot of us thought, hey, that guy's a big, strong dude built for either position. So he's got some flexibility. I know he's turned into a really good athletic guard, can really move for a big guy. And I tell you, he just shows up and does his job. I know you paid a lot of money for it. Free agency is very expensive, but boy, he's good. I'll tell you what, if it's about worried about guards getting beat and not giving your quarterback time from the pressure up the middle, part of that will be taken care of.
I'm excited about it. So I think you touched on it there at the last bit, but I've watched Robert Hunt, but I haven't studied him, and I read some people who do, and they said everything you just said, Mahler in the run game, he's reliable, he likes to move people, he's got a violent streak to him. I also saw some people say he can be a little bit of a liability in pass pro, but if you put somebody next to him that's capable, he's going to be just fine. Is that an accurate scouting report?
Yeah, that's more than fair, because we played with mostly 6, 7, 8, 9 on the offensive line, like a lot of people last year. I don't know about Carolina, but yeah, we had 4 of our starters get hurt early, and they missed 32 games. And the only guy to play was the right tackle basically the whole season outside of that. So when you lose those guys, you know, the chemistry, those guys getting used to each other, they did a good job, and the coach did a good job of making sure Tua got rid of the ball quickly. But listen, I'm a huge fan. It wasn't by accident that people are going, wow, Robert Hunt got a lot of money. I think everybody knew it. I think the team knew it right when they realized if they were going to sign him, they waited way too long. Should have got that done before we got into this last year. And he's a good guy. You see a guy not only out on the field, but you see him on the plane. He's just a real good guy. I know I've heard stories before about Nick Saban's team played against him, and he had called when they were looking at him. And I know Nick Saban's got a real good relationship with Chris Greer and said, hey, we beat this team up pretty good, but he's a hell of a player. So I don't know. Chris gives that some credit as well. But he really is, man. And he has been completely durable. Until this last season, it wasn't a knee, wasn't an Achilles, wasn't all the other things we're seeing in NFL. The guys are spending all off season. It was a freaking hamstring. Probably should have waited one more week. He did. He wanted to get back. You know, I get it. It's a big season. Team's playing well. And honestly, he wants to play and be as durable as possible because he knew the contract was coming up.
Well, I would also – look, we need offensive line help around here, wide receiver help too. And he caught a touchdown pass last year. That would have tied him for 5th on the Panthers roster in touchdown grabs last year. So,
well, I got to tell you what, it was very athletic. So the some of the things he does, I was like, wow, that is one big athletic guy. But, there's a lot of team looking for offensive linemen. We're looking for guards right now. You know, we can say whatever we want, but we're looking for guards. A lot of teams are looking for tackles and guards. Seems to be, outside of quarterback, the biggest shortage we have that everybody's complaining. I see the Jets and the Giants all last year. You know, you don't give your quarterback a chance. We're never going to know how good he is because he's on his back. And guys are getting knocked out. We lost more than half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Only 13 guys played a full season last year. 13 of 32 teams, the rest of them missed games. And I'm talking about some guys only played 16 because they had the playoffs wrapped up in the last week, guys like Lamar Jackson. But it's incredible that, an offensive line's getting blamed for a lot of that, the hits these guys are taking. So I get it when I don't think the Dolphins value paying guards that kind of money, but a lot of teams do. And if you got a young quarterback and you guys want to find out, I'm guessing if he can play or not, you know, maybe it's up. I don't know how you guys feel on the radio show about him, but it helps. If you got some big guys in front of them, can block a little bit, right?
Oh, it does. Well, I think you made a great point. We're seeing interior offensive linemen get paid so far in this free agency period. The Panthers paid two of them. They got Robert Hunt. They brought down Damian Lewis from Seattle. They're following the Saints, blueprint with Drew Brees. Make sure you've got a rock-solid, sturdy interior offensive line so there's always a pocket to step up into, and that's what this team lacked. Last year, same situation as Miami. They played 7 different left guards, 9 different right guards. It was a mess from an offensive line standpoint. And if you're just tuning in, Joe Rose, the Joe Rose Show, WQAM in Miami, former Dolphins tight end. He's with us on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. Joe, we spoke to you earlier in the season when these two teams played, and you touched on this on our pregame show, but I want to bring it back for this audience here on the Drive Time because – you have direct experience down there covering and talking about a smaller quarterback drafted into a situation that wasn't necessarily ideal. You make a coaching change, and all of a sudden you're retooling to weaponize the offense and to get the most out of a smaller in stature quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. Right. What can you tell our audience here who's hoping for the same thing with Bryce Young?
Well, so I do, after seeing what Mike McDaniel's done with first of all, getting his confidence back and making sure he's confident, sits him down and says, I'm putting a system in that's going to be perfect for your game, going to give you great success. We're going to get you weapons around you. So you got guys that can turn 20-yard plays into 60-yard plays. And boy, I'll tell you what, Mike, like I've never seen in all my years in Miami Dolphins, I've never seen a quarterback go from no confidence and a fan base saying, wow, I don't know if he can play or not. Now he's injured, the concussion, to what he was able to do last year, leading the league in yards, 4,600 yards and 29 touchdowns and stuff. So I think the big thing is he went out and got him good tackles, put in a quick passing game to get rid of the ball to those guys on the outside. I give the guys on the outside a lot of credit, Waddle and obviously Tyreek Hill, who's been his go-to guy. And I just saw him build up his confidence and stuff. Listen, he still doesn't run that much. Your guy's a much better runner. But he knows what he can do. He's looking down the field more. We also got a running game. And that running game, most of it outside with the two speedsters in Achan and Mostert. But when you can run the ball and the play action starts to work, a lot of motion, as you guys may remember from last year. But he did a lot of things to get where, and Tua, a lot of times he didn't have a lot of time to throw, but it was get the ball set and throw. And he hung in there pretty good. So, I would tell everybody, Tua's not the most athletic guy in the world. There's still a lot of fans down here that aren't ready to give him a big contract. But, this is the most productive play out of quarterback we've had since Dan Marino. And so I think a lot of people, he's been good for business down here. He's an Alabama guy. And so going forward, he's a starting quarterback as far as I know. A lot of people are now wondering if we're going to give him an extension or not, free up some money extension, or are we going to make him play for the $23.1 million he's due this year.
Joe Rose, WQAM Miami, former Dolphins tight end, with us on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. Always look forward to it, brother. Thank you for the time.
Hey, thank you. And one of my favorite guys since he was in high school,
Dan Morgan, I got to give him a shout out. How's everybody so far with Big Dan down there?
Well, they didn't like the Burns trade. Feel free to weigh in on that. A lot of folks, but I think that was more about him cleaning up the last guy's mess. Now, to be fair, Dan was the assistant GM here last year, so in some ways he's still tied to it. But this was, I think, unfortunately, the culmination of a lot of mismanagement, having to trade Brian Burns and doing some of what they're doing. But I see him today. Yeah. You know, he's bringing in two offensive linemen. He signed A'shaun Robinson coming over to pair him with Derek Brown. They just signed a linebacker, Josie Jewell. I think he's pairing some of Ejiro Evero's old guys from Denver with him here in Carolina. Right. So I actually think Dan's off to a pretty good start.
Well, I hope they let him do it. And I don't know if ownership's involved. Hopefully you let those guys you pay a lot of money kind of make decisions, keep you informed with everything, and let's go from there. So, hey, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it. Let me give for giving Dan Morgan a shout-out. Thank you.
Anytime, brother. Take care of yourself.
Tuned into Instant Replay when the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte Sports Fan.